Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word. It's very important that you note that old Caiaphas, who was a high priest appointed by a Roman governor, not by God, that another miracle other than Lazarus being raised from the dead, God spoke through this man a true message that God would send a Savior that would save the people, but he would have to die on the to bring this to pass. And Caiaphas would know later that it wasn't he that said this. It was a divine intervention. Let that be recorded in your mind, that God uses whomever he chooses, whenever he chooses, by divine intervention to bring to pass what he intends to happen. So we learn then in verse 51 of chapter 11, as we closed in the last lecture, where it said, "And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation by God's intervention." So we'll pick it up then in 52, a word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's precious name. And chapter 11, the great book of John, verse 52, it reads, "And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God which were scattered abroad." This had to do with the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes rather, that were scattered abroad, and the other two even with them, that they would be gathered back together in that family, as well as opening up for Gentiles. Do you know where that's written? Do you know what he's quoting? First, he was quoting Psalms 22, that Christ must die on the cross. But he was quoting Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. I'll start reading with verse 5. Isaiah 49:5, "And now said the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." This is Messiah coming. Verse 6, this is why we came here. "And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob," bring them back home, "and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." And of course, that Redeemer, of course, was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the old Pharisee high priest had no choice other than to quote what was written, that God had every intention of doing this. And again, the light I want you to see from it is how strongly our Father is in control. He doesn't leave anything up to chance. It is written. It will always come to pass exactly as it is written. Returning to chapter 11, the great book of John, we'll pick it up in verse 53, the next verse. "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." Too many miracles. I mean, now raised a man from the dead, Lazarus. Of course, what they didn't know, Lazarus in that language translated back to Hebrew is Eleazar. The priesthood was reignited for the end times. And it continues even to this day for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. 54, "Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews," that's the Kenites that had worked in among our brother Judah, "but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, unto a city called Ephraim." That means double fruitful. "And there he continued for his disciples," with his disciples, that is to say. In other words, he cooled it for a while, took a moment. 55, "And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves." 56, Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to be to the feast? They've got their spies out for him to spot him. They want to do him in. What a nice bunch of religious folks, what? Verse 57. Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment. This is an order. That if any man knew where he was, he should show it that they might take him. And so it is taking prisoner, of course. There's a great deal in that chapter, bringing the light, the true witness. And in the next chapter, he goes a lot deeper into the end times when you read between the lines. Not so much between the lines, it's pretty well open. But God causing this one, this false priest, to tell the truth concerning Psalms 22, which was the crucifixion, and then the resurrection, of course, follows in Psalms 23. And a great witness is given here. And we kind of have a look behind the curtain here, time-wise. So, therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, pay a close attention to time. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. This is, and it's important that you note, 6 days before Passover. You see, Christ would be the Passover lamb. And if when you read in Revelation chapter 9, you find out that the Antichrist will be on earth from the time of the locust, which is May through September. And so we're coming into the ballpark of the same numbers along with the witness. So you can kind of get an idea if you pay close attention to when the two witnesses will come, that is to say roughly, as well as Satan being cast from heaven. That's why this time is so very important that you mark it. But there he's supping, and he's got Eleazar, Lazarus. That's the ministry, very much alive. Death overcome. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I mean, he was right there eating, very much alive, and pure documentation that Christ defeats death. And that Christ also, on a deeper level, brings in the order of Melchizedek forever, the high priest of all times, that he can bring that priesthood to pass without ever a waver. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very, very costly. It was expensive. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This is actually preparing Christ for burial. And there's going to be some complaints. Let's just get right into it. The fragrance is there. Verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. He's the betrayer, right in their own midst. Verse 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Do you really think, Judas didn't want this for the poor. He wanted it for himself because he was a thief. He carried the money bag for all the 12 disciples. And he was looking forward to being, when Christ's kingdom came in, being the banker of the world. Verse 6. And he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had that bag and bear what was put therein. Probably he carried the money and probably took a little for himself occasionally, you know. But did he fool God? Of course not. He would serve the duty that God would have him serve, even though he was a betrayer, because Christ had to be delivered exactly on time, as God's schedule always runs on time. And it would be through this one Judas that would take place. Verse 7. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this." Verse 8. "For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." The greatest gift the poor has ever received was the anointing of Christ for burial and the resurrection, that the poor, doesn't matter who you are, with faith in him can have his blessings. So it was an eternal gift for those that would believe of the poor. Again, greatest gift the poor ever had. And who was complaining about it? Of course, the thief was. He wanted things his way. Don't be too quick to judge him. He repented, and Christ does forgive. And many would say, well, he committed suicide. Now, see, you want to be careful how you handle Scripture if you're not familiar with it. When you read Acts chapter 1, verse 18, you find out that he was hanged all right, but he was also cut open from his Adam's apple below his navel till his insides fell out. He had a lot of help. In other words, the religious community could not have him walking around loose after he repented and was going back to Christ. They kind of had an accident, a big one. And so here, within this, we have the greatest gift to the poor, that with faith and honesty, whatever lot you're born into, you have the right to rise above it, to be responsible for yourself, for your family, for your community, to make something of yourself. I don't care how down you are or anything, with Christ you can look up. You may have a long ways to go, but that's good. You'll enjoy the trip. Start looking up. Our Redeemer draweth nigh. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. I mean, this was, I don't want to call it a sideshow, but they're not interested in knowing what God was doing in establishing the priesthood. They wanted to see the miracle. This man was dead, and he's living, he's eating, he's sitting there at the table. They wanted to see it. Unfortunately, this is not the 12 disciples. This is the people that would hang on calling themselves disciples. 10. You got a lot of them today. Verse 10. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now, this is not going to cut it. The whole happening transpired whereby the priesthood, inasmuch as Eleazar was the third son of Aaron, and when God did end the first two because they messed with strange fire, it left Eleazar as the head priest, even replacing Aaron at his death. And so this Eleazar was established, that being Lazarus' name in the Hebrew. And there's no way you're going to kill it. The message is going forth. The truth is going to abound. The truth is the Word, and the Word is God. And no man can stop that. God's plan always moves as it is written. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Naturally, because of the miracle of the resurrection, it caused a lot of people to know that this man is Messiah. For only Messiah could defeat death, as it is written. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, don't read over that. The next day what? Well, what was the date that I asked you to remember at the beginning of the chapter? 6 days before Passover. Now we're minus 1 day of that six, so we're in the fifth day. The fifth day from Passover, we have prophecies that will happen as Christ would state. What year would it be? Nobody knows. But at least now he opens the scripture whereby we can see and understand what is written and as it will come to pass. Next verse, please. Verse 13. They took on that fifth day, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed to the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they're calling him king here. That's going to make Caesar a little unhappy. Hosanna means save now. And so it is. Verse 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. Well, where is that written? Well, verse 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Where is that written? Well, let's make a note of it. It's written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that he would come riding a lowly colt that had never been ridden. This was the first advent. Do you realize that the Old Testament let you know there were two advents? A lot of people overlooked that. But the very next verse, that's to say, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10, has Christ making another appearance other than this one. This one came humbly as Savior, a babe born of Mary. But the one in the 10th verse of Zechariah 9 is on a war horse with a rod of iron. It's the second advent. So we have here playing into that second advent, even as you're led there to go back where it's written. And you now have the notes. Zechariah 9:9, Zechariah 9:10, verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. God's word always comes to pass as it's written. Have you read it? You know, it's important because we're in the end times. And God doesn't leave us wanting for knowledge. If you'll seek for it. So seek and find. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. They reported this to the people. It was growing. 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. We got things going on, raising the dead. Never been happened before. And to their knowledge. Verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. We're losing the war. They're following him by the herd. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. These were no doubt Hellenists that would come because they wouldn't be coming to the feast if they were not Hellenists. That means Greek believers. Verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, if you like, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see him. We want to meet him. Did they want it for the right reasons? Did they understand? 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. They pass the word along. 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In other words, you have a time sequence. Well, what is the time? We're 5 days before Passover. 5 days before it will actually come to pass. 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, he's using nature itself to explain to you how he gives eternal life. You can take one kernel of corn, and when you plant it in the soil, the kernel dies to feed the little embryo that God has placed in that kernel. And the little embryo feeds off of the kernel and grows into a beautiful new plant. So he's showing them he's going to be resurrected. He had just defeated death through Lazarus, bringing Eleazar, the priesthood, back. And now he speaks of himself. Verse 25, to continue. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. That is to say, if you like to live it up, honky-tonk it, not necessarily at honky-tonk, but sinning and drugging it up and going with the wrong crowd and everything, if you love that in this world, you better have a good time, because that's it. And I don't think those things bring forth a good time. They bring forth debt. You don't want that. So if you love this world and its ways, it'll kill you. If you love the life that he has promised in heaven, it's eternal. And you're there with him always. Verse 26, If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And God will do that. If you will serve him humbly, honestly, and straightforward, God will always bless you with knowledge and information that will abound, that is so beautiful. Well, what is that knowledge? The Word of God. To be able to understand and unlock the scriptures, to make them come to life, for they do live. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Question. Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. In other words, there's no way. Verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven. You listen to me carefully. Came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Well, what's that at the end times? This is not Christ speaking here. This is God speaking from heaven. You can hear it. They could hear it. Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. You know, not everybody, I guess, can hear the voice of God, but it frightens most people. It is an awesome, awesome thing. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." In other words, God spoke this. He and the Father being one, he knew. But it was for the witness of what was happening. It was even for you in these end times as a time, knowing here that God spoke 5 days before Passover. What did he say? Verse 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Who is the prince of this world? Well, it's Satan, of course. And as you read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, Michael cast out the devil, the prince of this world, and cast he and his fallen angels to earth. And here you have Antichrist with you. Now, you're given a great deal of information here. Don't read over it. What he's telling you is that God would wait until this fifth day. Five, of course, means grace, but literally 5 days before Passover. This lets us know God always foretells us all things through the prophets and through from himself, whereby you are forewarned with foreknowledge of what's going down if you absorb the scripture. It is written, it shall come to pass exactly as it is written. So that time will come. Well, should that frighten us? No, he's coming in prosperously and peacefully. He will literally bring peace to the world. But it's a fake peace. This is why Christ would say when they cry peace, 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 you'd better look out. Okay, because that's you're near the end. In other words, it's an abomination for this prince of this world age, filth, deception, death, an abomination for him to claim to be God, and that's what he intends to do. Well, when is that going to happen? 5 days before Passover, on some year, and probably we're getting very close to that year, but it's not yet. There are still things must come to pass. You've got to let God's word speak for itself. Verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I will still be in touch, and all men that believe, and women, there's nothing, no gender in that, I will draw them to me, draw you with the strings of love, the rope of happiness, and truth. That it is wonderful to be able to understand the Word of God, to know that he never forsakes us. He never leaves us alone. He always gives us his truth. And the beauty of it is, 5 days before Passover, the prince of the world is cast out, and he has promised us that he has two witnesses by kind of an indication is where he through would make the false priest speak what he wanted truth. The two witnesses will be before that a few days. And how precious it is that God has shortened the time to a 5 month period as it is written in Revelation chapter 9, whereby this king prince of the world will only have that 5 month period. But don't worry. He will cut a wide swath while he's here. And many people that have not been taught the word of God will worship him, thinking, in fact, he is the Messiah. For as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will sit in the holy place claiming to be God. This is the son of perdition, the prince of this world. It's written in plain English or Greek or Hebrew or whatever language you wish to take it from, in any copy, that he will deceive the world if it's possible. But for God's elect, it's not possible. But we don't find him tempting. we find him to be an abomination. So you see, Christ alleviates a lot of anxieties if you'll listen to him. He lets things be known. He said, if I am resurrected, and he was, I will draw all to me, meaning you're drawn, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. When you pray for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, he will send the answers to you. You can count on it. Our Father will never leave us nor forsake us. What a precious Father we have. Okay, and we continue. Next verse, please. Verse 20 through 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And of course, it was crucifixion. 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Who's going to be crucified? You're supposed to be here forever. They don't understand the resurrection, that he is with us forever. Verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Who is the prince of darkness? The prince of this world. It's one of Satan's names, and you can count on it. That's as it goes. Let's go one more verse, verse 36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. He withdrew for a while. What a message. What knowledge. What beauty the word brings us concerning the end times, to leave us prepared for that is to come. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. All right. Bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
Second book of Moses, called Exodus. This fantastic book of the law witnesses God keeping his promise to Abraham that he would deliver Israel out of the Egyptian captivity. The type established by God delivering his children out of bondage in Egypt is readily seen as the way out of the confusion of this world for Christians today. That is to say, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word Exodus means in the names. In Exodus, we also learn the names or seed lines through which Jesus Christ would be born in the flesh. Exodus, as taught by Pastor Arnold Murray, is available on audio cassette tape or VHS tape. The 13 audio cassette tape set is our item 126, and the suggested donation is $52. Or if you prefer the 11 VHS tape set, it is our item 671.13, and the suggested donation is $275. Partial tape set orders are welcome.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit Moves, got a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. God did not give us the authority to judge yet. He gave us, though, the gift of discernment, that you could tell whether you're hearing truth or fiction. If it is God's word, it is truth. If it is traditions of men, that can very likely be fiction. So a wise person, knowing all wisdom comes from God, is able to discern. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Even your fingerprints are different. He wanted someone just like you. You're unique. But he insists that you love him. That's why he wanted you, is to love him. It's your choice. Let him know if you want to be blessed. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Nancy from Florida. I have two questions. The first one may be a bit silly, but here it is anyway. Is it after or during the millennium when we will eat manna, angels' food, and use the leaves of trees for healing? Does this indicate that we will be subject to getting hungry and experience illness if we are to live forever? Will our spirit bodies be in need of food, medical herbs and such to keep us in spiritual health? You know, this is naturally the leaves of the tree for healing comes at the end of the millennium into the eternity. And it is very difficult for a scholar to translate that word healing, because it does. There is no illness. That's all done away with. No tears, nothing to worry about. So what do you need healing for? The translation is that it is impossible to be bored or unhappy when you partake of that food. It is fulfilling, complete, and naturally it is spiritual food. Now, there is another place where in the book of Revelation we partake of manna. And you can read of it in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And if you search the truth, if you pray for guidance from God, without His guidance, you're lost. You can dig all you want to. You're going nowhere. No one's going to listen to you if you dig, and never ask Father for His divine intervention. Then people will hear you. So it states there that if you will study, if you will listen to Him, He will give you manna, and that manna is truth. It's God's Word. And He will even give you a new stone with a name written on it. Okay. Tina from Oklahoma. Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, who his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. I was listening to your program, and you mentioned that Adam was not Cain's father, but according to Genesis 4:1, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Yeah, that's true. But how many children did she have? That's where you're going wrong. The word that you quote in verse 2 of chapter 4, again, that's not in the manuscript, Saka. It says she continued in labor and brought forth a twin. You're missing one conception. You can read of it if you'll start back at chapter 3, verse 15. And then you begin to understand. If you need a little more help with that, go to the New Testament and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul says, hey, I've got something real serious I need to talk to you, because I want to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. How do you lose your virginity? Think about it. He said, not as Eve, who was beguiled, hatio, wholly seduced in the Greek. It has no other meaning, by Satan himself. So you see, it's real easy to read over things, and you need the ability. That's why I like for you to have a strong concordance word. You don't have to just take my word for that. It's real easy for you to check it out. See what that word again actually is in the manuscripts. Patrick from Missouri, do the angels have reproductive organs? Well, what about it? The fallen angels seduced the daughters of Adam and Geber were born. The answer is, of course. Sean from Arkansas. My name is Sean. I'm 10 years old, and I study with my grandpa. My question is, how did God come to being? Do you know what he told us about that, Sean? And thanks for studying God's Word. And it's all we're going to know for the time being. He said, I am that I am. Meaning, he will be wherever he wishes to be, whatever he wishes to be, wherever, whenever he wishes to be. The Hebrew for I am that I am is Iya Asha Iya. And from that comes the etymology of the sacred name, YHBH. I am that I am is Yahweh. And he is always with us. Thanks for studying. You're doing good. And this would be Lisa from Montana. Please help me to understand, is there a battle with Satan at the end of this age and another battle at the end of the millennium? Thank you. Yes, there is. When we will have Armageddon and Hemengog at the end of this dispensation of time. Then comes the Lord's Day, which is 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a very short season. And if anyone follows him then, God puts an end to them. And, of course, then following that is the great white throne judgment. And you can read of that in Revelation chapter 20. It's the second. It's not a great battle there. It won't last 5 minutes. God will destroy them. Tom from Maine. I'm a retired CB, very proud to serve America's finest of Marines. Well, touche. You know, CBs have really assisted in being a part of getting it done. If you need to get it done, talk to a CB. Question, I have and continue to plant a seed to people. I feel the resistance and will not pressure anyone. Can God remove delusion from those who resist the truth if I persist in teaching, trying to teach the ones I love? Be very careful. Don't be persistent. That's the wrong way. You see, remember in today's lecture about the little kernel of corn? Can man make that little embryo grow? No. As scientific as we are today, there's not a way in the world that man can make that little embryo and that kernel of corn grow. He can water it and plant it like God said, but God makes it grow. And when you plant a seed, if God wants it to grow, it will grow. Okay. So just especially after you have planted considerable seed, only continue when they come and ask you a question. And then be prepared. Like an old CB will, you'll make the beach in good shape. Okay, Bijan Antonio from California. Do you find it ironic that Jesus Christ, Yahweh's Savior, and our Redeemer, that whosoever believes on him shall be saved, and that same living God is also the consuming fire that shall cast some into the lake of fire? Thus, second death? Absolutely. Praise God. I mean, you want them with you forever? We don't want doubters. You know, we want an eternity where there's nothing there that offends. So if it's somebody that doesn't love the Lord, we're going to do away with them. He's going to. Why? So that we can have peace finally in this world. God spoke, and nothing became everything, and God will speak, and something will become nothing. He blots out the lake of fire. God is a consuming fire. And what all it means is he blots them out of our memory even. So that's why you won't shed any tears for them. But let God be the one who makes the seed grow. Vicky from Missouri. How did Satan get so much power, and who was the other cherub covering the ark? Well, it isn't written what the other cherubim was, but I have an opinion. Don't ask me to document it because it is only an opinion. It was Michael, because Michael seems to be in charge of him after his fall. God did not give Satan that much power that he didn't earn. He was a good cherubim. When he moved all the way up to be one of the protectors of the mercy seat, that's a Messiah connotation there. And then he wanted to sit on that seat himself. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be Savior. And unfortunately, that's where he went wrong. He took the power on himself. God doesn't make anybody bad. People turn bad. That's just human nature. That's why we're together now, just to find out who's bad and who's good. We're going to get rid of the bad in the eternity. Okay, Marvin from Washington. Where is the soldier's prayer and the saying, I walk through the valley of darkness and fear no evil? I looked in the King James Bible. I was told it was Psalms 144. Well, you're confusing two things. Let me try to help you. Psalms 144 is the soldier's prayer, because the prayer is, Father, give me the strength and the ability to crush my enemy, to destroy him, to break him. That's the soldier's prayer. God intends for that Christian armies win. Okay. But what you're quoting is the song of resurrection. It's the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. What valley is this of death? Is through this earth today. You can read of that valley in Ezekiel chapter 37 concerning the dry bones, the whole house of Israel in there. And they're spiritually deader than a hammer. And though we walk among them, and they're spiritually dead, it's hard to tell them anything. Many of them won't listen. But you don't have to fear any evil, for he is with you. And things go exactly as it's written, and when you are honest with him, he's always honest with you. So you've got two thoughts in your mind. Is the Psalm of Resurrection, the Lord is my shepherd, that's Psalms 23. But the warrior's song is Psalms 144. Shepherd's Chapel, this is Marvin also, okay? When they get blotted out of the book, so he blots our memory out, so we that make it don't remember the loved ones who went in the lake of fire, but the people in this lake of fire are suffering forever and ever. Now, have you ever read Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, what happens to Satan, the cherub that covereth? He's turned to ashes from within. That's forever. If I were to take this paper and light a match to it and it would burn to ash, it'd be an ash forever and ever. And so it is. There's no suffering, or it could not be called heaven. There's nothing there that offends. Antonio from California, seemed like we just had one from him. People, as it is written in the Bible, will fall after the Antichrist thinking he is God. Well, if people are stereotypical, wouldn't some be skeptical that God is supposed to look old and have white gray beard and so forth, and this one claiming to be God looks exactly the opposite, which is handsome, clean shaven, and black hair? Whoever gave you the idea that God looks old? Where did you read that? You didn't. You've been looking at drawings of Mark in certain cathedrals of God looking old. Is God in a spiritual body? Yes, he is. spiritual bodies don't get old. They're eternal. So you need to rethink that one a little bit. God is beautiful. He's young, vivacious, because he's in a spirit body, and is eternal. Gary from West Virginia. My question is, how did Cain's seed cross over the flood with Noah in the ark? Which one of the eight souls brought the seed of Cain? None of the eight souls that are Adamic. There were only eight Adamic souls on the ark. That means children of Adam. Cain was not. But in Genesis chapter 6, how many was Noah asked to take aboard the ark? Two of every flesh. Kenites were flesh. And so it is. But they were not Adamic. The eight souls that were clean and had a perfect pedigree was the eight through which Christ could come. Another one from Marvin. Okay, I'm a newcomer. I like what I see. Bless you. Thank you. I know we only use 10% of our brain when we are into the millennium. In the millennium, would we be able to use 100% of our brain, and would we know the Bible inside and out and know the meaning and understanding? All you got to do is read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. I'll say that again. All you got to do is read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. What does it say there? I'll paraphrase something to the extent, when we're in the millennium and the eternity, you won't have to ask your neighbor if he knows the Lord, because everybody will know the Word. Point, they're in spiritual bodies. Our Father is an amazing Father. When did He choose the elect? Well, before the foundations of the world. What body were they in when He chose them then? Spiritual bodies. Spiritual, you know better, you know everything when they chose them. So they had a leg up on people that are in the flesh and only have 10%. That's why there is a millennium where everybody is back in a spiritual body. There are no second chances. But people that didn't have an opportunity to learn the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, will learn it in a spiritual body and be judged from that. That may offend some people, but that's the only fair way God can do this. That's why it's written as it will happen that way. Pastor Murray, this is Gene or Glenn from, I'm going to say it's Gene from Tennessee. Your teaching is such a blessing. Well, thank you. My question is, we're in the Bible. It says that Adam and Eve were reddish complexion. Well, take your Strong's Concordance, go in the Hebrew dictionary, and their number, the number Adam, is 120 in the Hebrew dictionary. And what will it tell you? It will say to show blood in the face, to be ruddy complected. That's what the word Adam means. That's where it comes from. Eth Ha'adam is that one man through not humanity on the sixth day, the Eth Ha'adam being the man through which Christ would come, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. Stella from Texas, what happened to millions of people that have died who are Christians when Christ comes back a second time? Well, a lot of them he'll bring with him. You could read of them if you want to in Revelation chapter 7, past the choosing of the 144,000. It'll tell you there are, you can't even number the thousands on top of thousands that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and are there with God today. Some of them, God always takes care of His own. And many of them overcame. If they love the Lord and were committed to Him, they're there. And some, of course, are on the opposite side of paradise, and they're waiting the millennium. Marlene from, I don't know where Marlene is from. My question to you is, when babies or young children die, is there spirit that goes to heaven an adult, or are they as they are like babies, or joining children's, being children, young children still? Thank you. No, we're all the same age in the spirit bodies. Okay. God created all spirits at the same time, Proverbs chapter 8, Job chapter 38, along about verse 6 or 7. God created all souls at the same time. We're all the same age. It's just that we come into being in different dispensations. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He sent to you for you to have understanding. It makes His day when you read His letter. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Now, most important, though, listen to me good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying.